Good morning, everybody. It's time for the Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care Show. It's Elder Care Radio, only on News Radio 890-925-KDXU. Here's Richard and Kaylee.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Elder Care Radio. This is Kaylee, and we are from Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care. And I know I have to start out with our telephone number because my good friend Gary reminds me that I don't say our number enough. So what is our telephone number, Richard?
435-477-6999.
Or you can reach us at Pathway Hospice Care. Go on to our website. Oh, pathwayhospicecare.com. Sorry. Go on to our website and learn a little bit more about us. We really are Southern Utah's first and only radio program dedicated to improving the healthcare in our community. Every week, we strive to bring useful information to you, our listeners, so that you can live your very best life. So that you can take control of your health care by engaging and coordinating with your providers and to be a bigger part of your own health care team. We want you to reach your health care goals, and we want to be there for you to be a part of it.
And it is exciting to be here on the radio again today. You know, this past week has just been so busy but full of great things, and we really appreciate all the people in the community that have been working with us and helping us get this message out. And so we really appreciate that. We've had a lot of conversations this week and a lot of business requirements too. So it's been a very busy week, but it's been really great.
Well, and as you hear my manly voice.
Oh, I was going to say that, yeah. What did you do this weekend?
Oh, my gosh. We had Mother's Day, as everybody else did, and got to celebrate. I was fortunate enough to have all my children there.
Nice.
I have 5 kids. I have a daughter-in-law, a son-in-law, and 2 grandbabies. And, boy, did we have a good time celebrating and singing and me yahooing at my little grandbabies as they danced around and we all karaoke'd, which just makes us a little ridiculous.
Did Richard sing?
No, he usually just brings us on.
Oh, man.
He'll do the boo-wah-boo-wah.
little Oak Ridge Boys?
Yeah.
Or
a little baby got back, but that's, you know.
Oh, and then we all say, no, Dad, don't do it.
Wow. You know, just songs from my childhood.
Yeah. And, oh, my son Cole, he loves, why can I not think of his name?
Cause Johnny Cash.
Yes. Oh,
a lot of Johnny Cash. Or?
Yes. Oh, my gosh. And so, of course, Richard will yahoo on that one and, you know, play the backup on that one, too. But it's just a good time. It's ridiculous. It's stupid. I'm sure, you know, at my eulogy, my kids will all talk about how wacko their mom was.
But I didn't do as much singing and yelling as you did, which is the reason for this line of conversation.
Do you have a song that's yours, a special song? That?
So,
little Whitney Houston, maybe? No, Cyndi Lauper?
You know, I do switch off a lot. I like to grab, like, the change them and make them mine, and it makes my kids really mad. And so I always find songs and then switch them a little bit. And it's so funny because my kids will say, that's not how it goes. For instance, there's this one song, Carry On, and there's 2 Carry Ons, Carry On, Carry On. And I will always throw a third one in there really fast. So I'll say it really fast. And my kids just go ballistic. Like, they're like, that's wrong, that's
Mom.
Wrong. And I always say, hey, I'm an artist, and this is my artistic rendition. Nice. I've rewritten the song for your pleasure.
Yeah.
And they get really mad at me, and that's just fun for me.
So a little yelling and screaming took your voice away from you?
Yeah, a little bit.
Just recovering from that?
Okay. Yeah.
So, you know, like I said, we've had a really full week, and we've had some opportunity to talk to some great people, you know, in different, you know, ways. We've talked to a number of people who are caregivers and have some concerns, and we're trying to help them overcome that, and people who are struggling in homes, and we're working on that, and people coming out of the hospital. But this week we were also invited to go to Memory Matters. And if you haven't been there, it's a great resource for those that are dealing with Alzheimer's, whether you have somebody that has it.
I want to interject a shout-out for our good friend Gary. He really is a great supporter and has introduced us to a lot of people, and we just feel very blessed to be friends with him and have him in our life. And we look forward to, you know, working with him in the future. But he's just wonderful, and so we thank him for all of his referrals and his support. We really do.
Yeah.
So and now I'm going to say 435-477-6999, because Gary's the one that keeps telling me, you don't say that number enough.
So we were invited to go to one of the meetings where they get together and you know, share their experiences. And there's no doubt that doing anything alone is harder than doing that same thing with other people around.
Right. Yeah.
And so getting that support of other people in a support group is great. And they Memory Matters is doing a great job of gathering people together and helping them organize and get some benefit out of that time. And so it gives you a chance to get away from, you know, the circumstance and to maybe laugh and joke, but also get some resources to bring back to make it more effective. And so if you have any questions, give us a call. We'll get you in touch with Memory Matters, or you can call them directly. You can Google it. We think that's a great deal. So we were invited to go talk to them because the person that invited us had some questions that we were able to answer. And he says, you know, I think I know some people who have some of these same questions, and they want to know what can be done. And so he invited us to go talk, and we kind of cornered that for a little while by answering a bunch of questions. But what we found were some of the questions that were asked, and we've been asked these questions before, are still so chillingly wrong about hospice that we really want to break those myths. And we appreciate that this community is, you know, reaching out and educating and helping others understand that. So we hope you, as our listeners, will help us kind of spread this word and completely eliminate this myth from people's understanding. And so today, we'd like to do this as a call-in show. If you're interested, we're not going to require that, and we'll continue talking whether you call or not. But if you have ever, and this was a question that came up, hospice myth number one, that if you elect to go on hospice, you have to give up all your medications, which is, that is horrific to even consider that might be an option, and it's not. We don't do that. But if that's something you thought you understood about hospice, we'd like you to call in. If it's something that you have heard somebody else say, or if you actually have had somebody been told that, we would love to have you call in, because we want to dispel this. Or if you happen to work for another hospice, an RN or CNA, that had that policy, we would like to know, whether that was here locally or elsewhere. But we really want to get all sides of this. And all we have are the questions that people have asked before that... And so we're going to answer the question. First is, no, that's not required.
And so, medications can include, I've often had people say, oxygen. Did you list that separately?
No.
And no, you do not give up your oxygen either.
Right. But let's put the phone numbers out there. So if you're gonna call into the radio station on the call line, it is 435-673-5890, which is not as easy to remember as ours. 477-6990.
Except we're 8:90 a.m. So
well, yes,
5890.
And last night I was spending a little bit of time trying to figure out a way to make that easier, and the only thing I could come up with was using the other four numbers, 5673. The only thing I could come up with was Opal. And not Opal like the precious stone.
Oh, that's too hard.
But Opal like the car from the 70s, O-P-E-L.
I think you're making it harder. Than
I think so, too.
Well,
so
Opal 890, I think you could probably remember.
Okay. 673-5890, though.
And text
Opal
number?
Text number is my cell phone. We'll be taking text 435-467-5842. Not an easy one to remember, but it's one I've had the same number for like 20-something years. Yeah.
Well, it isn't an easier number to remember, but it is easier for most of our listeners to text in over calling. A lot of our listeners just don't like to call in. They don't necessarily want their voices heard over the air. I'm not sure. Me either. But texting can be easier. So text in your comments, or if you've had that experience. Right,
yeah.
Absolutely. Just kind of give us a little text shout out that, yeah, this happened to us, because we are surprised. This week we had several people again call and say, listen, I put off having your services because I don't want to give up, you know, my husband doesn't want to give up his meds, and we're concerned about that. If he has to give up his meds, he's going to pass quickly, and that's not what we want. So we've been waiting for hospice until he was ready to pass. Oh, please don't do that. You miss so many benefits and so much support in your home, and it just makes your life easier. And actually, statistically, it will increase your life if you have a really good palliative program supporting you and helping you, because with less struggles, we know that there is a life-extending benefit. So don't fear what you don't know. Give our office a call, and we'll help you navigate the system. And remember, let's say that you do have a concern. Give our office a call. There's no obligation. We really are only here to help you. At the point that we're helping you, we can say you're eligible, you're not eligible, but there are other resources out there for you, and let us help you find them so that life can be just a little easier, because we need to learn to laugh and enjoy life more.
Okay, so now that everybody's got their pencil, that text number again, Andy?
435-467-5842, and we actually have a text already. They said you don't have to give up your meds, but what about your doctor?
Nope.
Excellent question. So here's the deal. Many doctors are involved in this myth, too, or believe this myth, that somehow they can't get paid if their patient goes on Medicare. And so the doctors...
Not Medicare, but hospice.
If they go on hospice. And so the doctors... believe that that's the case. So they, of course, say, well, then you're giving me up because I'm not going to work for free. And I understand that you shouldn't work for free. But the doctors don't have to give you up as a patient because they can continue to bill. They have to modify the way they bill because you're now under a different part of Medicare. And this is all billing stuff that doesn't matter. I'll give you a quick explanation. There's two different sections that you can function under Medicare. And because we have choice, we can go back and forth between those as you see fit. But under hospice, it's a different section of Medicare, but those doctors can still get paid. Now, the exception to that is if your doctor were also the medical director for the hospice, then they couldn't continue to see you as a hospice medical director and as a attending physician and expect to be paid for both of those.
And that's because they get paid from the hospice, right? And so that would be double billing. Another thing to remember that Medicare is all about beneficiary's choice. Right. I don't think people realize the power you have as a beneficiary. You have an absolute right to choose your program, your plan of care, and how things are going to play out. I think so often we are so used to just turning everything over to our physicians and saying, whatever you say, I'll do. I'll just trust your word. And we've had a lot of patients say, hey, I asked my doctor if I could use you, but he said that I have to use this company that he's affiliated with. No. And he can still follow you under our plan. And remember, we're the first and only one to bring a palliative, expanded palliative program. A lot of people can put it in the name, but what are they doing for palliative? And ask them. Ask what they're doing, because a lot of the doctors just don't know us yet. We're trying to get out there. We're trying to educate them on who we are and how the benefit program can benefit their patients more, longer, and offer more support and reduce stress. But a lot of them just don't know us yet. So it's not that they're trying to hurt you or deny you something. They just don't see why their company is different yet because they don't know us yet.
And if we consider either one of those myths that we're talking about, they just fly in the face of everything reasonable and rational. For instance, Medicare does not want you to have less quality of care. They're really always looking for the best, most effective quality of care for you. And when you are eligible for hospice, the best possible care is hospice care because we bring all of the care right to your home and everything that a hospital can do, okay, we can do. And we bring that to your home instead of having you go out to the hospital to do it. Now, that does save Medicare a lot of money, and that's reasonable. But they don't want to diminish the value of the care, and they realize that your doctor has knowledge and information and history about you that is useful. And so Medicare would like the doctor to follow, but follow using hospice now instead of the hospital as the main point of care. And so that's why the billing is different. But certainly, Medicare did not want your doctor to stop following you. But that's been a myth that's been propagated, and we want to be able to dispel that. If you talk to your doctor and he says, well, I won't follow you, it's not because Medicare says they shouldn't. It's not because the hospice, at least not for us. And I will say that Pathway, we want your doctor to be involved.
And maybe you should suggest meeting us. We would love to an opportunity to explain to their billing department how they bill.
Mm-hmm.
We've had a few very large organizations that have asked us to come out and teach their billing department so that they can continue to follow their patients, and we absolutely love that.
Right.
That is a huge benefit not only to the patients, but to the doctor, and it's a win-win for everybody. And really, I don't think people realize that Medicare wants you to have all the benefits and take advantage of all the benefits that are available to you. You should probably understand, no, Medicare is not perfect. They are very reactive instead of proactive. But they negotiate great contracts with people. I mean, the reason they have our program available, it saves them millions of dollars a year nationwide. Millions.
And people are happier. And because you're happier, you have less complications, which reduces the need for interventions. And so it's just a cascade of savings
right.
when we bring great care to the person, especially people who are in need of great care pretty constantly. And so that's really the goal here is for Medicare, the goal is to improve the quality of care without increasing the cost of care.
Right.
And that's hospice fits that exactly. But it's not exclusionary. We do want your doctor to be involved. And so we would love to talk to them and engage them and make sure that they know that they can continue to get paid. And we certainly don't mind every doctor getting paid. That's not, we're not against them getting paid. I understand that if I was doing a job and all of a sudden somebody asked me to continue doing that job and it was free, and I wasn't going to be able to get paid, I would be less likely to do that. But that's not the case for your doctor.
Right, right, because he can continue to get paid under the program. We should also interject that we keep using the word hospice, and people have this huge fear of the word hospice. And that is really because you don't understand the palliative provision that is available to you.
Mm-hmm.
So the expanded palliative provision is kind of like when you watch on TV and you see Joe Namath or Jimmy Walker on the TV saying, find out if this benefit is available to you. Palliative and expanded palliative care program is available in 43 other states. We were surprised it was not yet here, and we brought it here. So if you're listening today and you say, I just can't wrap my head around that word palliative, what does it mean? And you look it up and you're still a little confused, the reason is palliative is very dynamic and individualized to you. So it's very hard to say palliative is massage therapy, house cleaning, help with your laundry, changing sheets. I mean, it's very dynamic because some people may not even need that. So that's not their palliative.
Mm-hmm.
Call our office, give us an opportunity to explain it so that we can take away the scary feeling that hospice imposes upon us all, and we can understand it better. When you can understand that the benefit is covered at 100% to you once you're eligible for hospice, you should take advantage of it sooner rather than later, because not taking advantage of it is not going to change your medical circumstance. It's just going to prevent you from taking advantage of a benefit that you've paid into since you were very young.
So I hope we've dispelled that myth that your doctor can't follow. If we go back to that original one that we're going to try and take away your medications, again, if we look at the position from Medicare, we can't imagine that that's even a rational concept, but it must have happened to people. They must have heard that. So we'd like to try and resolve that. There is no requirement that Medicare has that you give up your medications. We wouldn't encourage you to give up your medications if it wasn't in your best interest. And the other thing that we want you to understand is that you are the one who gets to make that decision. If a hospice has ever come in and said, we're going to tell you what to do, then we would say that's not a good hospice. We'll start there. Because we're guests in your home. We are the ones who are coming to just provide aid and assistance for you in the way you want to provide care. So we would encourage you to continue anything that helps improve life. And if those medications are there, then we would suggest that you do that. Now, one of the great things about hospice that we've had some great experiences with is that once all of your care kind of comes together, you know, under under the hospice umbrella, where we are engaging with all of your doctors and we are looking at your entire medical record and other issues, you know, not just specifically your medical conditions, but your whole life issues. We have found that when we look at some meds for many people, there's duplication and there's over-medication. I mean, really, over-medication seems to be a pretty common problem here. Yeah. And we've had a number of experiences where we've had people improve the condition they're in just by reevaluating the medication. Now, again, it's just optional, but our doctors look at your medications, and we'll give you a couple of examples. We've got a gentleman recently that he was on 5 different blood pressure medications, and his blood pressure was always high. Different ones. And if you understand, you know, there's so many different blood pressure medication types. There's beta blockers and ACE inhibitors and angiotensin 2 receptor blockers and calcium channel blockers and alpha blockers and alpha 2 receptor agonists, and, you know, half a dozen more. Each of those changes your blood pressure in a different way. Each of them also has complicating side effects. And some of those work opposed to each other. So there's one type that reduces your potassium and one increases your potassium. And so if a doctor is trying to find a balance between those to keep your potassium normal, we've created another problem. So here was the example. We had a patient who was on 5 different blood pressure meds. Blood pressure was still high.
Really high.
Really high. Talking to the doctor, did a fairly simple test with the patient, took his blood pressure, you know, while resting, while standing, took it again at 10 steps, took it again at 20 steps. And we found that it appeared that his body was trying to compensate for the blood pressure losses.
Overcompensating.
Yeah,
right.
It was overcompensating, trying to create more blood pressure. And so we talked to the family, talked to the patient, and said, we'd like to try this. And the only reason that it works in hospice is because we have nurses that are involved constantly with your care.
Watching so carefully.
Because if you do this with a doctor, the doctor's going to prescribe a medication, and then 3 or 5, 6 months later, he's going to check on you and see what the result of that was.
Yeah.
But if we make a change to your medications, we can check your blood pressure. The nurse will be there weekly, and you can
text us daily, and we are literally evaluating it, sending it to the doctor daily,
right?
So that they can evaluate it. Remember, your physicians, your specialists, from your heart doctor, kidney doctor, your primary care physician, they don't like to change your meds prescribed by someone else. So it's not always just an easy fix to bring your med list, although we hugely support that. Have your med list with every doctor, mm-hmm. so that they can give you some advice on that, and they can give you the questions to ask your specialist. Why am I on this one, or can I take a different one? So always have your med list with you, but you're not likely to have a physician say to you, you know, a primary care doctor, stop that one from your heart specialist. That's just not likely to happen. But when you come to a doctor who is taking a look at your entire picture and trying to help you live a higher quality of life, a better quality of life, and they aren't concerned with your specialist because they are become like an overseer of care, and you get the choices,
right.
And our nurses are there to watch you so very closely if there's a change or if something proves in a day, 24 hours, 48 hours, 72 hours, to not be working, we can immediately go back. Your doctor does not have that benefit because he won't see you in every day or have an update every day.
And can't commit that kind of time to you because Medicare won't pay him for a visit a week or, you know, a visit every 14 days.
Without a really good reason.
Yeah, without a really good reason. So what has happened with this patient is we looked through the meds, we found out all of these things, found out that his body was probably trying to compensate for this, you know, this low blood pressure. We removed most of those blood pressure meds, and his blood pressure actually dropped, and he's more stable and more reasonable than he was before.
Right.
You know, that's just an example. We've done that with other drugs. We've had patients who've been on with 5 different pain medications, and they weren't in pain. And pain medications can make you crazy.
And stop working.
Yeah, and they stop working. So it's always been great, and we always appreciate being able to do that. So we won't remove your doctor, we won't remove your drugs, but we will talk to you about options that you have because it is your choice.
And hospice does not mean you're dying. As a matter of fact, there's less of a time limit on you than there is on the company, and we can explain that again later. Hey, bereavement groups are meeting again. If you are struggling and would like to to go to one of those meetings, please give our office a call. We can give you some direction. 435-477-6999.